beautiful song, Saturday, May 9th, as Sabrina moved closer and closer to her homegoing. She was moving closer to the strong, loving arms of her Savior. And we were downstairs as friends and close friends, family, in the living room. We were praying and we were singing. And all of a sudden, Norma broke out in song and sang that song as Sabrina was upstairs preparing to see her Savior. We were downstairs singing and praying for Sabrina. And you know, I've never experienced anything like it in my life. We sang, we prayed, we cried a lot for many hours. We shared memories, we shared stories about Sabrina, and we'll always treasure those hours surrounding Sabrina's homegoing, surrounding her promotion to heaven. We'll share them deep in our hearts. Thank you, Norma. And children, thank you. Thank you for being Sabrina's friends. Thank you for singing about friendship today. Thank you for the roses, expressions of your love for Sabrina and for the family. We thank you, boys and girls. Several of those boys and girls were present the Saturday that Sabrina was promoted to heaven. They were there in the upstairs bedroom around her hospice bed with about 40 or so people. And some of those boys and girls who sang behind me were there that afternoon, singing, crying, and praying, touching Sabrina, talking to Sabrina, right along with the adults. They talked to her and they held her hand and they helped her walk into the arms of her Savior. Firefighters, thank you for being here. Thank you for your demonstration of support and involvement with the family today. We're honored to have you here participating today. And today, boys and girls, men and women, is a celebration service for Sabrina Monique Torres. And we began our celebration service with three of her favorite songs. She often would sing those songs at home church. They were often requests when we had favorite time in our home church. Sabrina would raise her hand and she'd say, I want to sing I'll Fly Away. Lord, I lift your name on high. And on her request would go. She loved to sing. But you know what? Sabrina Monique Torres loved to pray. And it's time for us to pray right now. We want to pray to our great God. Would you join me? Father, today we gather to celebrate you most of all, but to celebrate and honor, remember, and speak well of our friend, our loved one, Sabrina Monique. And right now, Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you as our unseen guest of honor. You said in the Bible that where two or three or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the middle of things. And we choose right now to pause and to welcome you as our unseen guest of honor. We choose right now to exalt and honor you, just as Sabrina did in her life and her promotion. And Father, we pray for the family. We pray for Papa, for Reuben. We pray for Mama, Venus. We pray for Brother, young Reuben, and the rest of the family. We ask that you'd encourage them through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. We ask that you'd comfort them and meet their needs during these moments together as we remember and celebrate your precious child, Sabrina. Father, would you speak to us? Would you encourage and comfort us today? We ask in Jesus' strong name. Amen. You know, I vividly recall the day when my friend and Sabrina's father telephoned me almost 2 years ago. Picked up the phone, answered it, and Reuben asked me to come over to his house. He asked me to come and to share with the family because they had just received news from the doctor, from Sabrina's doctor, that she had an inoperable brain tumor. And they wanted me to come and simply to sit with them, be with them. And I'll never forget that day when that's exactly what I did. I drove to the house, and I remember thinking to myself, at a time like this, human words come up short. God, give me wisdom. Give me direction. Help me to be quiet, to hold, to cry, to speak well in your behalf. And so I prayed as I drove to the house. And when I got there, we moved to the kitchen table. We sat around that kitchen table, around which I've sat many times in the last many days with the family and throughout the house. And God moved me to open my Bible and share with the family these two verses. I want to share them again. I've shared them more than once with Reuben and Venus and young Reuben. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. That day I shared these words with them. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just as God's word encouraged Reuben, Venus, and Reuben around that kitchen table almost 2 years ago, may God's word encourage and comfort you today as family and as friends. We want God's word to speak in such a way that you are encouraged and comforted. I want you to listen as I read some more scripture. A favorite passage of Sabrina Monique is Psalm 100. She would often say this psalm. And in fact, the Saturday that she was promoted to heaven, we shared this psalm with her. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 100. Shout for joy. Sabrina Torres understood joy. She did not manufacture joy. The Holy Spirit produced joy in that little life. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his hand, the sheep of pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I want to invite a friend of the family, a relative, Daniel Rosas, to join me up here. He's going to recite some scripture at this time. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Listen to God's word and allow it to speak to you. Right here, Daniel. Over here, buddy. We spent some time together, Daniel and I, in recent days. Daniel, you ready?
Yeah. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep all your righteous laws. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your righteous judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel. God's word can always comfort and encourage us. Sabrina Monique Torres is my friend and your friend, your relative. She was 10 years old, a resident of Modesto, and she died Saturday, May 9th, at her home. Ms. Torres was a native of San Jose. She lived in Modesto 8 years. That means she came here when she was 18 months old. She was a student, a member of the Royal Choir at her school. She was a member of the Big Valley Grace Community Church. And Sabrina is survived by her parents, Reuben and Venus Torres of Modesto, her brother Reuben of Modesto, her grandparents Delfino Torres of San Jose, and Uriel Vustos of Mountain View, and great-grandmother Virginia Gonzalez of Mountain View. Sabrina's a special young lady. And you know, I will always remember Sabrina Torres. I think primarily because she always had joy in her heart. And because she loved Jesus with all her heart. She was a trooper. She was a champion who knew how to walk through suffering and adversity. She was one of my young heroes. And she always pointed people to Jesus with her words and her actions. She trusted Jesus every step of the way. And on October 19th, 1997, Sabrina wrote a letter Sabrina wrote a letter to Jesus. And in that letter, she displays great confidence in her great Savior. And her brother Reuben is going to join me right now to read that letter. You'll find it in your program if you haven't discovered it yet.
Dear Jesus, thank you for everything. I praise you for taking care of me through all of my hard and tough times. Life is not easy or fair. You are a wonderful protector and provider. Thank you for your help, support, protection, and love. With lots of love, Sabrina Monique Torres.
I remember when Sabrina breathed her last breath, and I escorted everybody out of the room except for Mom and Dad and Grandpa and Brother Reuben. And about, I don't know how many minutes later on, Reuben walked out the door. I closed the door behind him, and I held him for 15, 20 minutes. And that's a special hug between Reuben and I. A very special hug indeed. And I just want to share, before I sit down, when we went to the home early Friday morning and prayed and sang and cried, I didn't exactly know what was going to happen. And we went home for a while, came back about 1 o'clock on Saturday, and kept on singing, kept on crying, kept on praying. And then we made our move upstairs just before Sabrina was ushered into heaven. We made our move upstairs and sang and prayed and cried some more around the hospice bed. I will always remember those hours surrounding her homegoing. I'll never forget them. They're so special to family and to friends. And you know, every step of the way, as the letter indicates, Sabrina Torres had great confidence in her Savior. May today's celebration service be of great encouragement to you. God bless you.
At a time like this, with all of the thousands of volumes in a preacher's library, there's only one book that really speaks with authority and with clarity that can truly impart hope. In Hebrews chapter 11, the question is asked, what is faith? And the Bible says it is a confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave His approval to people in days of old because of their faith. And by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. So you see, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Our Father, we pray that in this moment of time that you would grant the gift of faith. That you would give to those who struggle with believing in you that inner sense that you are real and you are available to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a desperate time in that dust bowl of a Texas town in a hot summer day when they needed some of what we've been receiving over the last weeks. They needed rain. And in desperation, the preacher decided that he ought to call a community-wide prayer meeting. Someone says, has it really come to that, that we must pray? And so he called a community-wide prayer meeting, and as people came to pray, the sun was hot and there was very little shade, but as he looked around, he saw one little girl carrying an umbrella. Just one. You see, prayer is asking for rain, but faith is carrying an umbrella. There is a difference. And as that little girl became the teacher of that community in that hour of desperate need, Sabrina has taught us many lessons. But one is that true faith is never found alone. It's always accompanied by expectation. Her friend Tawny writes this, when Sabrina was sick, she taught me a lot of things. She was the most patient person I ever knew. I never heard her complain. Think about this. I never heard her complain about being sick or about being tired. And this taught me not to complain when I wasn't feeling well or when things didn't go my way. She taught me about my hope in heaven because she knew that she might be there soon. She taught me more about trusting in God and growing in my faith because she wanted to know Jesus very closely. She taught me about being at peace because she didn't seem to be frightened. She taught me about love because even though she was sick and didn't feel well, she still treated others with love. And finally, Sabrina taught me about joy because through her illness, she continued to smile and laugh and sing. And Tawny writes, I love you, Sabrina, and we'll miss you until we're together again in heaven. What is faith? There's a little girl with a lot of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One man defines faith as believing something in advance that only seems logical when seen in reverse. I wonder how many of you would agree with these statements. I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. You believe in that? Raise your hand. Let me see. Yep, there's some faith there. Yes, there is. Okay, good. How about this one? I believe in love even when I do not feel it. I see a hand on that. You believe that? How about this one? I believe in God even when He's silent. Yes. Papa Reuben writes of his precious Sabrina. Sabrina always displayed faith. She knew that all things work for our good, and she demonstrated it in her actions. That's the umbrella. She knew that God had a perfect plan, and she was a part of it. I remember the day when she called me at work after she had come home from church, and she said, Daddy, I went to church with the big people, and I got the whole thing Pastor David spoke about. Now, Reuben said, Sabrina, what did he preach on? And she said, well, he talked about faith and a little girl who demonstrated it by bringing her umbrella to a prayer meeting. Now, Reuben said, when I got home the next day, I told Sabrina that the reason she understood the message was because she was that little girl. Sabrina was living in faith. But as you know, if you know anything about this family, Sabrina is not the only one in this family with strong faith. It didn't take Dr. Hastings at the Children's Center in the city to recognize that. She writes in her letter, writing it to Sabrina, I remember very well the day in June 1996, not quite 2 years, when you came to Children's Hospital for the first time, and I knew before I even saw you what disease you had and what this meant for you and your family. I went over in my mind continuously how I was going to tell a 9-year-old girl and her family that she had a terminal disease. And then I met you. You truly are a beautiful girl, blessed with your mom's beauty and your dad's charm. In your family's virtues. And somehow, as difficult as it was to talk about this dreadful disease, you and your family were strong and had faith that God would take care of you. And I knew that whatever medicine could offer, it couldn't save your life. It really was all in God's hands. Rob, a fellow firefighter and a dear friend of the family, And a brother in Christ writes these words of observation. These are wonderful words, Reuben and Venus. He writes to you as a family, and he says, your faith has grown and remained strong throughout your ordeal. Others have grown spiritually because of your strength and perseverance. And though your circumstances were very difficult, I never heard any of you display anger to God or question his desire to use your family for the work of his kingdom. You managed to minister to those around you when we expected to minister to you. You learned things from God that most people couldn't due to your circumstances, and you shared them with others. Others were continually blessed by you from your maturing in your relationship with God. I watched in awe as I saw you lift every concern and fear to the Lord in prayer. And this taught me how I could draw closer to God and trust in him through my prayer life. Sabrina's faith and trust in God was a testimony of a family walking with the Lord. Reuben goes on to say that on April the 19th of this year, Sabrina asked her mother to read to her a chapter that I have read a few verses from to you this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. It's the hall of faith in the Bible. Not sure what that chapter was on, Venus turned to it and was surprised when she read the title, By Faith. And Sabrina told her mom that as she read from the Bible that God spoke to her in a special way and told her she was going to be okay. Reuben says, shortly after that day, I felt I needed to tell her that there was a change in the tumor. And as I began to tell her about the change, she got scared. And then suddenly she stopped. She started to cry and then she stopped. And Reuben said, why have you stopped? And she said, God has told me that I'm going to be okay in a special way. And she believed it by faith. And her father says, I've never seen such faith in such a little girl. Faith. As many of you may not know, Hebrews chapter 11 ends on a very poignant note. It speaks about all of these people that God rescued and God gave victory to and God worked in supernatural ways. But then it says, but others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection for a better life, and some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips, and others were chained in dungeons, and some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half, and others were killed with a sword, and some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground, and all of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith. None of them received all that God had promised. The Bible says you can't receive the prize until you come to the end of race and you finish the race. What is the most important thing in life? Is it God's deliverance? Or is it God's approval? That's a hard question, isn't it? You see, faith in God gives you the ability to endure while others are simply giving up. One of Sabrina's wishes was that I would tell you about the source of her faith, where her faith came from. She had a personal relationship with Jesus. And as a result, she rarely ever complained or whined, but actually she wanted people wherever she went to hear about Jesus. And as amazed as we are at the great faith this little girl had, there was a day when Jesus was amazed at the lack of faith that people in the city in which he grew up in had. Jesus was without honor among those who knew much about him, but in fact, they never knew the real Jesus. Sabrina knew the real Jesus. Do you? As a general rule, wherever Jesus would speak the scriptures, the Bible tells us that people would put their faith in him. And when they would see the mighty works that Jesus would do, they would trust in him. But I'd like to share with you today what Jesus does for those who put their faith in him and what he did for Sabrina. When we talk about Jesus, the first thing about Jesus is that Jesus shows us what God is really like. I mean, how do we know what God is like? Have you ever asked? Has anyone ever said to you, how do I know God? Well, creation shows us that God is very powerful and God must have existed before that which he made. And then we come to the Bible and the Bible unfolds the plan and purpose for his people down through the ages from the beginning to the end. But Jesus reveals in human dress what God is really like. Jesus said to one questioning follower, his name was Philip, he said, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Sabrina had seen Jesus with the eyes of faith. And when Jesus shows us what God is really like, number one, Jesus showed us the all-powerful abilities of God. Jesus would give constant testimony to his power by performing miracles that only God can do. He controlled the forces of nature by his spoken word, Jesus. He healed the sick and he made the blind to see. And at one funeral he attended, he said to a grieving sister by the name of Martha, "Your brother will rise again, Martha." Martha said to Jesus, her friend, "Yes, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Martha, do you believe this? And then Jesus turned and called Lazarus back to life after being dead and in the grave for 4 days. He must be God. Only God can raise the dead back to life. Jesus shows us what God is like. Jesus shows us the very character of God himself. What is God like? People ask. Answer, you look at Jesus and you will see. And by the way, we who know Jesus and are his followers, we are told to imitate Jesus. We're told to model our lives after the very character of God himself, so that if you get around and rub next to and see a true follower of Jesus, you should see someone who looks like Jesus and someone who reflects the very person of God. Sabrina's mother, Venus, writes about her own daughter in a very unique way. Listen to her words, because this is really a description of Jesus. Sabrina was a blessing from God. Through her illness, Sabrina taught me the fruit of the Spirit. Sabrina gave me unconditional love every day. She always had joy. Sabrina radiated peace. What Jesus gave her, long suffering, was something that Sabrina handled well for so many people. Sabrina's gentleness was able to show because she let God give her rest. She loved right and hated wrong. Sabrina's faith was believing that God would take care of her forever with assurance. And the meekness Sabrina showed was that she wasn't selfish and never tried to make a good impression on others. Temperance and self-control was displayed throughout Sabrina's life. She always had self-control in everything she did. The fruit of the Spirit, that ninefold fruit, is nothing more than the very character of Jesus Christ. Napoleon said this. He said, "Everything in Christ astonishes me. His Spirit overawes me. His will confounds me. Between Jesus of Nazareth and whoever else in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. I search in vain in history to find the similar to Jesus Christ or anything which can approach the gospel. Sabrina wanted me to tell you about Jesus. Jesus shows us what God is like. Secondly, Jesus forgives and He cleanses from all sin. You know, one of the most amazing things about Jesus is the way unsavory characters wanted to be in His presence. They liked to hang around Jesus. Well-known sinners longed to be with Him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, a tax collector, many public sinners came and ate with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees, the religious leaders of His day, saw this, they asked His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said this. He said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick." And He said, "I've not come to call the righteous. I've not come to call those who think they're righteous. I've come to call sinners." Jesus reveals a God who has come in search of you. A God who loves sinners and has come to deal with our guilt and our waywardness from God. And when He so lives in our lives that He controls us, He begins to use us to bring sinners to find the living God. Sophia says this. She writes about Sabrina, says, "I'm so proud of her accomplishments. I too am one of them. Sabrina brought me back to the hands of God. She reminded me that even though I had sin in my life, God would love me and I could be forgiven. If it wasn't for Miss Sabrina, I wouldn't have been reunited with our Lord's precious family. I'm a member of this church because she reached out and touched the hearts of my family." People all over this world are weighed down with the guilt of their past. Psychiatrists' couches are busier than ever with people trying to rid themselves of the pain of the soul. And yet Jesus promises His love and forgiveness and peace to all who will truly come to Him. The religious leaders of the day that Jesus lived in believed that if you touched an unclean person, that you, the one who touched that unclean person, would become polluted. But when Jesus touched a person with leprosy, Jesus did not become soiled. The leprous became clean. And when an immoral woman came and washed the feet of Jesus, she went away forgiven and transformed. And in word and deed, Jesus proclaimed a radically new gospel of grace to get clean. A person didn't have to journey to Jerusalem. He didn't have to offer sacrifices and undergo purification rituals. All a person had to do was to follow Jesus, and you could get clean. And when you and I become followers of Jesus, regardless of our age, we can have that same effect on others as well. Sabrina's loving godfather, Wesley, writes this, "I was so shocked that I was supposed to be Sabrina's spiritual guide. It should have been the other way around. She was more like my spiritual guide." And then he tells the story. "After learning of her illness, I was deeply saddened and I was mad at God." You ever been mad at God? Some of you might be struggling with that today. God's big enough. He can handle our anger. "I was mad at God for what I thought He had done to this wonderful little girl. And I was visiting the Torres family during this tragic week and sitting with Sabrina, not saying much. I'm not a man of many words. And Sabrina asked why I had tears in my eyes. And I told her that I was mad about her having to deal with this illness and because I could not take this illness away. And she told me not to be sad or mad because Jesus was with her and He would take care of her, and if not here on earth, then home in heaven. She knew that God didn't give her this illness, but He would use it through her and the family to help Nino and others like him to trust the Lord." Jesus can see the unseen you. We cannot hide from His healing gaze. We cannot pretend when we come into His presence. Scripture says, when you bring your sins to Him, He will blot them out like the foggy mist on a cloudy day. It'll be gone. The Scriptures say, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Jesus has come to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our guilt and sin. Forgiveness means sending away our sin. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus condones our sin. It was for our sin that He was crucified. But you say, doesn't our sin condemn us? That's what we ask. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But Jesus came, and when He came, He had something far better to offer than condemnation. The Bible says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And instead of condemnation, Jesus gives us forgiveness for our sins and the power to forgive others. And it's still true. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus. And finally, Jesus imparts the gift of eternal life to all who believe. Jesus said, truly, truly, double guarantee, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. When Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross, loving hands anointed his body, wrapped it in fine linen and spices, and laid it in a rich man's tomb. And for 3 days the world was plunged into darkness, and the women wept bitterly, and the disciples were fearfully huddled together in hiding. Their dreams had been shattered by that cry on the cross, it is finished. They thought they were finished, and for 3 days God was silent. And then the world heard God's mega voice. With great power, God rolled that stone away and infused the energy of life once more into the still physical body of Jesus of Nazareth. And the grave clothes could no longer bind him, and he arose and he left that tomb, and he spent 6 weeks, over 40 days with his disciples. He was seen by more than 500 people at one time. They saw him, they heard him, they touched him, and the biblical writers claimed to be eyewitnesses of the risen Christ, and they certified the integrity of their faith with their own blood. That's how certain they were that Jesus rose from the grave. And if he rose from the grave, my friends, then he is alive. And he is available by his Spirit to all today, to any who will by faith simply come to him. Jesus understands our deepest spiritual needs, and he desires to provide a deep sense of satisfaction to each of us. Jo Lynn shares that despite her physical challenges, she was content and at peace. In fact, Sabrina showed Jo Lynn's two little girls that all things are possible through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. And I ask you, how can Christ strengthen us today if he's still dead in that grave? No, he's alive. It is our Lord's resurrection that guarantees our hope today. The confident hope of everlasting life for all who place their faith in Christ. You see, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, the Bible says we ought to be pitied more than anyone else. You see, if Christ has not been raised, then all of those who have died believing in him have simply perished and it's all over. And the Bible says Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Every fall in this great breadbasket of a valley, harvest time comes. And there's the first fruit on a tree that promises that there will be more. Jesus Christ in his resurrection is simply the first fruit. And Sabrina, our beloved sister, will follow. You say, what has happened to our precious Sabrina? According to the Word of God, Sabrina is enjoying eternal life at this very moment. If you could see me now. The Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. There are pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. That's where she is. The Bible says Sabrina is no longer suffering any pain. No more pain, no more mourning, no more crying. You see, when our bodies can no longer adequately relate in this world racked by sin, when your body gives you more pain than pleasure, your body almost becomes a prison. And rather than allow us to go on living in a body like that, God releases our spirit from our body and takes us into His presence. Sabrina is with the Lord Jesus in heaven at this very moment. The Bible says absent from the body at home with the Lord. You know, we have such a strange way of thinking about death. You see, the biblical definition of death is when the soul and spirit are separated from God. That's what the Bible calls death. What we call death is when we quit breathing. But the Bible says, no, you're not dead if you know Christ. We think when our soul and spirit is separated from our body that then we're dead, but not so in the Scriptures at all. But if we're separated from God, then God says you might be physically alive, but friend, you're spiritually dead. You have no relationship with the living God. Jesus said this. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And he says, if there would have been nothing more, I would have told you. And what the Lord has done is to keep his promise to Sabrina. The Bible says that Sabrina is coming back again with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful hope that is. The ultimate healing of our lives. You see, life with Christ is an endless hope, but without Him, friend, it's a hopeless end. But the resurrection never becomes a fact of experience until the risen Christ lives in our heart by faith. What about you, my fellow travelers? Wouldn't you think it somewhat bizarre for a traveler who has never read the destination on their ticket? You see, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto us once to die, and after this comes the judgment. And Scripture admonishes us that today is the day of salvation, but then it will be too late to make a decision. Are you a Christian? Have you come to know Jesus Christ by faith? You say, well, what is a Christian? I pray. Well, praying doesn't make you a Christian, but Christians do pray. You say, well, I've tried to keep the golden rule or the Ten Commandments. I've never met anyone who has kept the commandments of God. No, we have broken the commandments of God. Well, I go to church. That makes me a Christian, doesn't it? No. Not any more than walking into a firehouse makes you a fire engine. It doesn't happen that way. A Christian is a person who's made a choice. Jesus said that there is a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, that there is a broad way that leads to destruction and judgment, and many are on that broad way. We have to choose to become a Christian. A Christian is a person whose life has been changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we change. And how do we change? We change by renewing our mind. You see, what you believe determines how you act. And when you change your mind about God and about Jesus Christ, it changes you from the inside out. And a Christian is someone who's been changed. And finally, a Christian is someone who's accepted a challenge, because Jesus said, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. And we accept the challenge as Christians to deny our selfish ambitions and our sinful pleasures. And we follow Jesus. Jesus taught us that there are two roads, and we have to choose. That there are two masters, and we have to choose. That there are two destinies, and we have to choose. And God doesn't make that choice for us. What will it be for you? Peter says that there is a place reserved for you. It's in a place called heaven, and it's yours for the taking, but It's your choice. Could it be that a personal experience with Jesus is the greatest need in your life? My friend, there is no other way to truly know God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." There is no other hope beyond the grave. There is no other person who can take away your guilt and replace it with peace. Jesus. And I have done what little Sabrina wanted me to do. Tell you about Jesus. Sonia writes this. "Like many others, Sabrina knew I would have to say the most precious gift she gave me was that she led me back to the Lord. It is as if Sabrina took me by the hand herself and joined my hand with Jesus' hand. Not only did Sabrina help me recognize the Lord, she showed me what real faith is about. Sabrina, a 10-year-old child, she knew more about faith than any grown person I know, and it rubbed off on many. She knew all would be well because she had the Lord on her side. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't thank the Lord for bringing Sabrina into my life." Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, oh, how real you became to precious Sabrina. Lord, the way she lived, the things that she said, the evidence of her character demonstrated a beauty, Lord, that quite frankly, we would all like to have more of. And it's you, Lord. It's you. Lord, just like Sonia said, it's as if Sabrina took me by the hand herself and joined my hand with Jesus' hand. With our heads bowed and eyes closed today, you may be here as a part of the extended family or one of the friends that have come, or one of the firefighters that are standing together in solidarity with their brother today and his family. And quite frankly, you don't really know God. And you really don't have soul peace in the sense that you are clean before God, and that you really don't have the confident assurance and the certain hope that when you die, you've already got a place in heaven reserved for you. All of which Jesus offers to you today. And there's only one way you can receive it. It's by faith. By faith. You say, "Pastor, what do I have to do to receive Jesus? That I might know God. That I might have my sins forgiven. That I might receive eternal life." Well, you simply ask God, even as a little child would do, and you invite Jesus to come into your life with a prayer something like this. And maybe these words would be your words today. "Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to our world. And thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. In the best way that I know how, I open the door of my life and I invite you in. Jesus, today I'm turning from my sin and I'm changing my mind about you, about God. And I'm turning the control of my life over to you. Be my Savior. Be my Master. and give to me the gift of everlasting life. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto you. And thank you, Lord, for your gift of eternal life. And I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God. And in His eyes, you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. And we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. And may the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.